Welcome into the Nebraska Basketball Show. We have a busy hour coming up talking men's hoops. It's the talk of the town. It's really the talk of the country right now, what the Huskers are doing. Remain unbeaten after a tremendous win last night in Columbus over Ohio State. Of course, we'll touch on a little bit of what it was like at PBA a few days ago as well when the Huskers beat Michigan State in a top 10 showdown. Kyle Crooks now joined by the man of the hour. Don't tell him that, though, because he's not big into the rat poison, the hype, all that stuff. That's Fred Hoiberg. Late night last night, you guys got back a little after midnight. Here you are in studio, and I'm sure watching the tape, but it showed a lot. Your team continues to show that they can win in different ways, and how about last night grinding one out in the second half?
You know what? After Michigan State, anytime you play a team like that, it's just an absolute rock fight. The way you have to grind a game like that out, you win a big emotional one. At home, guys are sore. You know, BK got hit in the ribs. He didn't do much in practice the last couple of days. And, you know, human nature sometimes have a little bit of a letdown. And the thing that I thought was so important in that game against Ohio State is we got up to an unbelievable start again, similar to what we did in that Illinois game where we got up double digits in the first half. And that gives you a cushion when a team goes on a run, which they're always going to do at home. And then we just withstood it and made the big plays that we needed to down the stretch. But you know, it got a little ugly there for a while. They really amped up their pressure. They got into a little bit of a press. We got a little bit sped up, I thought. Mm-hmm. We weren't quite as organized coming down. I thought our cutting and our efficiency in that first half was exactly where we needed it. And give Ohio State credit. They made a really good adjustment, and we just couldn't make a shot. It ended up taking some forced ones. But found a way to regroup. Got a couple good ones in transition. I thought Kale gave us good pace coming off the bench. We got the ball shifted side to side. And then Braden Frager just made a couple huge plays for us down the in the last couple minutes. We called a timeout, ran a little isolation play for him, and just made an unbelievable move, great footwork, and got the and-one late in the game.
What were some of those adjustments that Ohio State made as you're watching, we're watching as fans, and we sort of see it, you're seeing it a little bit deeper. What were those adjustments they made and how they sped you guys up?
They really just, they picked up their pressure, and they got into a 2-2-1, kind of a soft press, and then mm-hmm. really picked up back to man. They got back into zone one time. We had a good possession against their zone, but really just got their pickup point all the way up by half court. And then, you know, we had a couple plays. We called a couple. We've been really good with our execution pretty much all year, and we just got a little bit out of sorts. And as I said, we played in a crowd in the paint, things that we haven't been doing. We turned the ball over, I think it was 12 times, which for us it was 8 in the first half. That's too many. A lot of those were unforced. And when you're on the road, you need every one of those possessions. But, you know, again, we had a couple really good hustle plays. I thought Sam made a key one there, going after that loose ball, tipping it out to Price to hit a big three. You know, they go up one. I thought our resiliency in that situation, our poise, it got really loud in there. It was a great crowd. I was, with the students not there, you know, I was really impressed with the atmosphere in that building. But our guys, you know, never wilted and found a way to regroup, went on a 9-0 run to go back up 8, and then they go on their run at the end of the game, and we found a way to get the big stop on the last possession.
Embracing chaos, right? Because they go on their run, especially in the second half, and you know they're able to take a small lead. But the veteran leadership on this team, the composure that it continues to show. One, you've had some really short turnarounds here, you know, where you've had limited prep, not a whole lot of time to get healthy or 100%, have that full rehabilitation heading into the next game. But how has this team embraced, one, those short turnarounds and having to play some of these tough teams on short turnarounds?
Yeah, and it's tough, especially, as I said, it was like when I was coaching in the Big 12, the game after Kansas was generally a letdown type game. Whether you won or lost, you were beat up, you know, the emotions, the crowd, especially if you played them at home and then had to go on the road, excuse me, the next game. And that's kind of what it was, you know, with a two-day prep after playing Michigan State. We knew it was going to be tough. It was a lot of mental reps as far as, you know, making sure we were fresh physically, mentally. And then we found a way to come out of the gate strong. And, you know, that was my big message before we came out. You know, you talk about your keys, but more than anything, it was duplicating what we did at Illinois and getting off to that fast start on the road. And you take the crowd out of it when you have that type of start. And then, like I said, we just found a way to withstand their big runs, went through a really tough stretch, and then found a way to make big plays when it mattered most.
Yeah, I'm looking at the box score now, and you know, you had everybody that was on the floor contributed in some way, especially in the scoring column. But He didn't have particularly a big shooting night from Price. He has the big three on that deflected ball, had the one early that that sort of set the tempo. Rink didn't have his best game, especially from three. Those are your two big high-volume guys, so it shows the depth that if one of your two, one or two of your stars aren't necessarily scoring to where you think they can, that there's other guys that can step up and win on the road in the Big Ten.
Yeah, for sure, and you know that was the question with this team, is when we had an off-night shooting where we're going to be able to have enough to end up on top. And you know, I think we've proven that the last two games we haven't shot the ball great. And you know, certainly, listen, the defenses that we're playing against right now have something to do with that. But I thought we missed some good looks. We could have gone into the locker room, I thought, up 12 or 15, you know, with a couple of the shots that we had there at the end of the half. But we didn't. And we found a way to come back and didn't shoot a ball at all in the second half. Rink hit a huge one under 5 minutes. And then Price, you know, hit maybe the most important shot of the game before Braden sealed it for us down the stretch. But, you know, listen, we're going to shoot them. We're going to put them up. That's how this team is built. We did get a lot of production at the rim. Our efficiency at the rim was really good. When we got the ball shifted side to side and then attacked feet, that's when we had our best offense last night.
And I was courtside, sort of behind the hoop at the Michigan State game, and watching it in person defensively, how you guys move, how you guys switch, I think it's such a difference maker. One, because it's effort and energy on that side of the ball, right? There's a lot of controllables when it comes to defense. Nate and what he's done on that side of the ball and the effort that you guys put on defensively night after night. Yes, scoring is going to be there. Sometimes it won't be there. But the effort you guys put on defensively every single night is ultra consistent.
Yeah, he's unbelievable, Nate, in his energy and in his consistency and the message and the detail that he puts into a game plan. And we do a lot of station work. You know, we'll do an offensive game plan. I kind of have broken it down. I have an offensive staff with Coach Ziegler, with Coach Monahan, and then Nate will have a couple of the other full-time guys on staff, Justin Moore, Peyton Borders, and the staff that he has got working on that side of the ball. And you know, that game, it was won on the defensive end. We shoot 25% in the second half and find a way to win a Big Ten game. And you know, going back on my earlier statement, we actually did shoot the ball pretty well against Michigan State. We made 13 threes. What we were not efficient with, which we've been great all year, is inside the arc and in the paint. We've been one of the top finishing teams in the league. I think part of that is because of the attention that Rink has on the perimeter and that our shooters have. We went 5 for 20 inside the arc against Michigan State and found a way to win a game. We make 13 threes and score 48 points. You know, that shows you how tough of a game that is. But again, the defensive effort that we had, that was the reason we won it. And then last night, you know, as we were in the huddle, you know, talking to my offensive guys, you know, Ernie Ziegler came up with a plan to put the ball in Braden's hands and let him go to work. So, you know, it's a full staff effort. I'm very, very appreciative of, you know, all the work that our guys do. Pat has been an unbelievable addition to our staff as well, Monahan, and, you know, our guys, you know, it's a full team effort for what we've got going on right now.
I don't know how much you're on Twitter, but I saw the stat of, you know, going 5 of 20 from two against Michigan State was the fewest twos made in a ranked win in college hoops history. Could you believe that?
Yeah, it's crazy. I try not to look at Twitter. I do get some good ideas.
Now's a good time to look at it for you. I don't know. Well, it could be rat poison.
Yeah, we're not the rat poison. But, you know, but what we did to Michigan State as well, you know, it's pretty, right. You know, what we limited them to inside the arc, that's, you know, that's Tom Izzo's teams are built to score in the paint, score in the mid-range, and we did a great job of limiting that, and we've been great all year. I think we're the number one team in the country in limiting paint points.
I wanted to ask you about Nate, sort of that relationship, because we had him in studio, I think it was last week or maybe the week before, and his intensity, you could see it on the bench, and he's a little bit more mild-mannered in the interview setting, but I know he's not his intensity changed, a game changer on that bench. But he was with you in the NBA. He was a G League head coach. He's had such a long journey, and he's such a great story. What has he meant to this program build as a whole?
He's meant so much to me over the years, and we've coached a lot of games together going back to my early days at Iowa State when I brought him on, and he was basically in the video room. He became our head video coordinator and then moved up to a coach, and he was so valuable to me. I brought him to Chicago when I went to the Bulls, and he was the G League head coach of the inaugural season of the Windy City Bulls. Did an unbelievable job and brought him back on the bench. He stayed with Billy Donovan for 1 year, and then when he made a change, I was very fortunate to be able to get reunited with Nate. And he is, I mean, he's – You just don't. Every day he goes on a run, and that's what gets his mind going. And if he doesn't go on his run, he's very crabby.
Yeah. So,
but he's one of those guys that I've never been around somebody that's wired like he is. And I'm telling you, the consistency that he brings on a daily basis, to get into the guys and to not let them get comfortable. And, you know, you see the passion in the huddles and you see the passion on the sidelines jumping around on every possession. It really is remarkable what he's accomplished. He was a Division I baseball player, played baseball mm-hmm. at Iowa State. You know, he's got a great story, obviously. And he just, he's meant everything to me. He's done a lot of things and has helped us win a lot of games.
Yeah, he's just incredible experience in a lot of different things. But now looking back to last night, you mentioned Braden Frager and what he, especially some of those ISO plays late, the and one that he had that essentially turned out to be the difference. As a young player, what's sort of the DNA that is brought up in a guy like Braden Frager when you bring him into the program? You see moments like last night when you bring him in.
Yeah, I mean, you see a guy that there's no intimidation, and he's still young. He came into this program as a 17-year-old, and the decision was made to develop him and redshirt him last year, and he really embraced that. He was unbelievable on the scout team. I think that's where he developed a lot of the confidence and the swagger that he plays with, but he just goes out there and, you know, it sometimes, you know, you put the ball in his hands and tell him to go make a play. He loves that. Mm-hmm. He loves when you put that type of confidence in him. The thing I've been really proud of Braden is how he's growing on the other end and how he's growing in other areas of his game. I thought defensively he made some really big plays for us as well. He got a big offensive rebound for us late in that game as well. And, he just, again, 6-for-9, had 2 and-1s late. And just, did a lot of great things for our team.
Yeah, he had a big night last night. Big night last night for the Huskers. Remain unbeaten at 15-0. We'll talk a little bit about the environment at PBA the other day against Michigan State because I think it's noteworthy. It's, you know, this Ohio State game, if we had a show after the Michigan State game, we're talking about a top 10 win, and I'm like, all of a sudden we got this Ohio State game thrown in there before the show. But good thing it ends up in a nice win for the Huskers. So talking about that, we will travel back to that Michigan State win a little bit as well. The Nebraska Men's Basketball Coaches Show is sponsored by Union Bank and Trust, where people don't have your money has people. Also, contact 811 2 days before you dig to protect your underground utilities and yourself. It's free. It's easy. It's the law. In the final segment of the show, we will have Price Sanford coming up with Jessica Cootie. That'll be in the final segment. We have segment 2 with Coach Hoiberg. That is next. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Kyle Crooks back with you at Nebraska Basketball Show here with Coach Fred Hoiberg after a road trip last night out at Columbus, Ohio against Ohio State, 15-0. You know, we talked a lot about Ohio State in the first segment. I did want to mention, Coach, the environment that you had a few days prior to that, Michigan State. That's about, you know, I'm coming from an SEC school where things get pretty loud in basketball arenas. That was off the chain crazy. It was a difference maker in a two-point win.
Oh, 100%. The fans played a huge role in that win, obviously including at the end of the game when Cooper had a chance to tie the game with free throws, and that's as loud as I've heard an arena that I've been in, and I've been a part of some really good ones as well. Hilton Coliseum was great when I played in. I, you know, never forget, we beat Oklahoma State when they were number 2 in the country, and Darwin Alexander was the number 1 free throw shooter in the Big 8 Conference at the time. We'd just taken a 1-point lead in overtime. They were number 2, and it was so loud in there, the backboard was almost shaking, and he missed them both, and that's what it reminded me of, was that moment, and it was so loud in there, and he missed the first, and then found a way to finish it off with throwing the full court pass after the lane violation, and just had a huge win. And you could even hear it, the Husker power chant going mm-hmm. on during the introductions. You knew it was going to be electric in that building, and we appreciate it. And, you know, the thing, and I mentioned this after the game, people don't realize, I think, nationally, how great of an environment PBA is, and they see that, but what you don't see is a full house against New Hampshire and a full house against North Dakota in the previous two games, in the getaway game and then, the game on the 30th. So it's been awesome. And, you know, we talked about this going into the season. I did think this was going to be a team. I didn't know we'd be where we are now, but I did think it would be a team that would be easy to root for because of the makeup of the guys and the character of the guys. And they have. That you see them getting on the floor. You see them getting the loose balls. The 50-50 plays we made late in that game last night was the reason that we won. The defensive energy and intensity against Michigan State was the reason that we beat a top 10 team on our home floor. Again, the biggest thing for us now is we can't get complacent. We can't get comfortable. We have to keep the edge. we got a big one coming up on Saturday.
It almost, it must be exhausting for you, because I could see it, I could feel it, how much you're trying to fight off all of the media attention. It's good and it's warranted. This team's really darn good. It's top 10. You're doing things you've never done before. But I could see how hard you're trying to fight off, because 15-0, it's great, but in the grand scheme of things, it doesn't mean anything, right, to what the ultimate goal is. Does it feel like a lot that you're trying to just fight off all this extra noise?
I think a big part of it is who you have in that locker room. And you said a little bit earlier, Kyle, this is a mature team. It's an older team, and they talk about it. You can see it in the locker room. Yeah, there was a nice celebration after both wins, but you could see it in their eyes. You know, a couple years ago, we beat Purdue. We got pounded our next game when we went out and played because we didn't handle the success well. Now you can see the guys in the locker room. And the guys that remember that were part of that game, they understand what happened to us. And believe me, we use that as an example a lot when we're in film sessions and when we're in meetings and that type of thing. So, you know, our guys have really bought into turning the page and moving on to the next step and the next battle. And, you know, for us now, it's Indiana. But you didn't see one guy in that locker room when I continue to ask him, are you satisfied? And not one person is saying yes. Now, that being said, I am telling them to enjoy it. Mm-hmm. Enjoy this ride. I'm not discounting what has happened. It's been a really fun season to this point, but you said it. We have not accomplished anything yet. You know, we've done some really good things, but we're only halfway through, and we've got whatever it is, 16 more league games against, you know, some of the best teams in the country. So we just have to keep that hunger, and I'm confident our guys will do that.
One of the key guys in that is Sam, and I look at his stat line last night, Coach. Finishes up with 9 rebounds. I think it was the Seamus put out yesterday. It's probably the third time he's led the team in rebounds. Had 4 assists, 8 points, had a tough defensive assignment last night. All the things that he does in terms of being a veteran leader, all the things that you need in the locker room. Coach Izzo said it. It's his favorite player for all the things that he does. Sam's consistency is just, it's very important for this team.
Yeah, it really is. And it was good to see Sam knock down a couple threes there in that first half and to step up and take a big one at the end of the game, which honestly, when I look back on it, that looked like his best stroke of the night. He just missed a little bit long. But he does so many, whether he scores or not, you know, obviously he has a huge impact. And, you know, he's getting recognition now from coaches. When you look at what Coach McDermott said, when Brad Underwood said, what Coach Izzo, I mean, you got some Hall of Fame coaches, I think, that recognize the importance of when you have role players that excel in their role, like Sam, like Kale, you know, and you don't see a lot in the box score. I put Burke in that as well. You know, there's games he doesn't score, but he has a huge impact on our team. You know, those are the guys that help you win. They don't care if they get shots. They don't care if they score. And you see what Sam's doing, leading our team in assists, leading our team in steals. I think he's second now in rebounding, and you know, mm-hmm. It's pretty impressive for a guy that is his size. But you know, it's, again, when you look at this team, the role definition that we have put out there, but the role acceptance, that's as important as anything as far as chemistry is concerned when you're putting all that together.
You look at around college hoops now, and the way that it is, it's a little bit more transactional. I mean, that's kind of the system that's been designed now in all sports in the NCAA. What you have in terms of role definition, people understanding, okay, you're going to come off the bench, you're going to do this, you're going to do that, is that rare nowadays? What you guys is pretty rare.
I think it is, yeah. And you know, we have culture meetings. We have a culture meeting every week. We do a lot of things in the off season to try to build it up, to prepare for moments, maybe when things aren't going well, to try to fight adversity. And I'll say this, Kyle, as much as anything that's gone on with our team this year, the way our guys have handled adversity has been the most impressive thing. And when you look on the road, when an Illinois team goes, that's as loud as an arena as mm-hmm. you're going to find. And when your guys find a way, when Ivicic hits the three at the end of the game, when they go on a big run, to keep our composure and to find a way to battle back. Last night was another example of it. Oklahoma early in the season, Kansas State, when they went on a big run down at the tournament at the sprint or 18, whatever they call that now. But, you know, it just, this team has found a way to have great resolve and resiliency. And then again, that speaks to the leadership of this group. I can't be out in the court with them. So they got to figure it out sometimes, and they have done exactly that.
Talking with Fred Hoiberg here on his coach's show tonight as we're talking about Ohio State, Michigan State, the week that was, top 10 program, and some of the pieces of it. Jamarcus Lawrence, I mean, he goes to Rhode Island, comes back. It tells me a lot about culture, right? Sometimes the grass isn't always greener, whatever kind of corny saying you want to throw out there. he comes back into this program, seems like it's fit like a glove. The leadership that what was sort of went into him coming back now?
Yeah, he talked about that. He talked about a lot of the things that he missed when he left. And I'll say this about Jamarcus, and you know, I give Archie a lot of credit for helping Jamarcus grow from a maturity standpoint. He played pretty much exclusively with a ball in his hands a year ago. he pretty much shared that responsibility, mostly with Bryce and with Rink the year before. Now he's got the ball in his hands pretty much every possession as we come down the floor. Now, we do have a multi-handler offense, but the default and the outlet guy is Jamarcus. You know, he's got help with Rink and with Sam and with Kale, but you know, when Jamarcus is on the floor, he's our lead guard. And that's where I've seen the biggest growth from when we had him the first time. And he knows the system. He knows the defense. He knows the offense. He knows the cutting. He had a couple really good cuts to the basket against Michigan State and also last night against Ohio State. So I love what he's brought back to our program. He's really been a good leader, and you have to have that. When you have the ball in your hands as much as Jamarcus does, you have to have good leadership.
Unicorn and Rink, you know, he gets off to the slow start, but I think to a couple of those paint moves he had in the second half, those it just shows how deep his bag is, as the kids like to say, right? You know, he can launch a 30-footer over an extended hand. He could pivot in the paint, score, and then we go back to the defensive part of it. His ability to help and rotate, it's just he's one of those guys that just does everything well. And we bring up the phrase multiple times, rat poison. I mean, he's probably hearing it from a lot of different directions. And you know, Coach Izzo is saying this is the best big guy player in the Big Ten and one of the best in the country. How's he dealing with the success?
Yeah, again, I've talked this a lot about Rink. He's the most disciplined player that I've ever coached at any level. And you have to have that discipline, that commitment when you go through what he did. That was a very invasive procedure. And, you know, there's a question, would he ever get back on the floor or at least get back to the level that he was playing at? And he's exceeded that. I mean, he's playing better now than he ever has in his career. And that is goes to his dedication to do things. He never skipped a step when he was going through the rehab. And he still tried to lead as much as possible, even though it's hard to do when you're not on the floor the year he sat out. Now he's back into that leadership role. And my point on that is his maturity level allows him to block everything out. I mean, there's nobody that puts up his walls and barriers like Rink does. And then he, you know, you can hear him in the huddles, and you know, our media team does a great job, but you see him on those recaps of all the talking that he does. When you have player-led teams like we do, and a lot of that is Rink and Sam and Jamarcus and Burke, but Kale, I mean, we've got guys across the board that are older players on this team that have really done a good job leading, and you know, Rink certainly is at the top of that.
Yeah, I made this point on Twitter last night watching the game. Price's reliefs, how quick he gets that thing off a curl, off a screen, but the high and quick nature of his release is unlike what you see in the country. His ability to get the shot off in limited time and space is pretty impressive.
It's really impressive. I thought he got a little sped up last night on his shot, but when you look at Illinois, when he gets it going, he's really hard to shut off. And hit one at the beginning of the game. That's generally a good sign for Price. Yeah. And any shooter, when you knock down your first one, that basket looks a little bit bigger. But again, he hit the big one when it mattered, even though he missed a couple that he normally would make. You know, just – and I talked to Price. I try not to talk too much to him because he's – it was like Casey. Casey's stroke by no means was flawless, but I never, ever messed with it. At times I would tell him maybe just to slow down a hair. Mm-hmm. And that's Price right now. He just needs to slow down, you know, one millisecond – and then that thing will start falling again.
I know Nebraska had that big deflection that led to one of those Price threes. How many deflections? I know that's your big number. Did you have a final number?
You know what? I didn't even see it last night. It was better early in the second half. I think we only had two with the first two media timeouts, but then mm-hmm. we were much better at the end of the game. Michigan State, we exceeded our goal. I think Sam led us with eight. Price had six. Price was really good with his deflections. Kale is always good in that area as well. But as far as the final number last night, I got right into Indiana, and I honestly didn't even see her deflection.
You're on to the next. It's just that time of year. Great stuff with Coach Hoiberg. Still have one more segment coming up with Coach. We'll have Price Sanford coming up in the final segment with Jessica Cootie. Stick with us here on the Nebraska Basketball Show. The Huskers Radio Network Broadcast Center is sponsored by Acres, the Midwest premier John Deere dealer, supplying the equipment and service to advance agriculture and much more. Acres solutions for every field. Back here, final segment with Coach Hoiberg on the Nebraska Basketball Show. Price Sanford coming up in the final segment with Jessica Cootie. You know, Coach, we went through some of the roster, and you know, I'm talking a little bit about last night. Everybody has their defined roles. You mentioned Kale a little bit. I want you to dive into him a little bit more and how he's been able to dive into this role, his role, and how he's helping the team.
I thought Cale was terrific last night. He had a really good play at the rim. It was good to see him knock that free throw down on the and one. I thought we played off 2 feet as well as we had all year in that first half and got him off their feet and got fouls and got to the free throw line, I think, at 3 or 4 and ones. But his pace, to me, was the difference in getting us going again in those last 5, 6, 7 minutes. Got it up the floor, scored a couple baskets in transition, which is always great when you're struggling in the half court, and just getting the ball moving side to side. We ran a couple plays, just a straight move, and get the defense shifted, and we took advantage of it. Braden got one of his and ones on that play, and I think the other one was Rink got the and one as well. And again, I give Cale the credit for getting the ball up the floor and playing with great pace.
How about Jared, too? You know, comes in, has a three. It always seems like he hits at least one big shot coming off the bench.
It was a big shot. It really was. And, you know, we ran a little play, kind of a misdirection to get Braden coming off the screen. They both ran at him. He made a good pass to get Jared an open one in the corner. Jared had a really good take to the basket. Another one playing off 2 feet, hit a free throw there. So he didn't play a lot. I think only 5 minutes, but still had an impact in that win.
You know, what's interesting when I hear you talk, you have such a great photographic memory. Is that sort of a prerequisite as a coach?
I have a photographic memory when it comes to basketball. Anything else, I got nothing. I'm terrible
like
with names.
Or anything like that? You don't know,
yeah,
what you're...
yeah. Somebody asked me a question about what happened last night, and I have about what I said in a press, and I have zero recollection of what
like,
I said.
Like, can you so, think back to a specific game you played in the NBA or college and like, break it down?
Most of them, yes. That's where I have a good memory. When my mind is gone, which it's already leaving me at this point, the one thing, when we dealt with that with some family members, when you go back to their childhood, they have great memories, mm-hmm. and they can talk about, you know, their favorite cities in Europe and that type of thing. For me, it's going to be, hey, when you played in this game on January 28th against Portland, talk to me about it. I'll have that one.
I just think it's amazing how you're able to specific details about certain things and have it down just like that. You know, when you look at the week ahead now, plan of attack, you have a little time to take a deep breath before you head on the road. How about this next environment? You're going to head to Indiana, one of the storied settings in college basketball, another unique challenge.
Yeah, one of the best offenses in our league, and they've got so many guys that can shoot the ball, and they do. They pose a lot of different challenges for you, and it is a great venue. It's fun to play in, and it's they're really playing well. DeVries has done a really good job since taking over, and they've gotten, I think, the 31st-ranked defense is the number that they've got one more game against Maryland on the road, and then we play them on Saturday. The biggest thing, Kyle, you know, this has been an emotional week. There's no doubt about it. You play your last non-conference game. You get 2 days to prepare for Michigan State, and then you get a huge emotional win, a court storm. You get 2 days to prepare to go back on the road and play a really good Ohio State team. That team, they lost 2 games by 1 possessions on fluke plays. North mm-hmm. Carolina had – it was a fumbled ball, and they pick it up and dunk it to get the 1-point win, and then Pittsburgh hits a crazy shot at the buzzer to beat them. That very easily could have been a one-loss team going into a really good environment in Columbus. So, you know, for our guys to rally and battle back and find a way to win a game when things weren't really going our way is, I think, a huge testament to what our guys are all about. And now we have a little time, so, you know, now you can't exhale too deeply, because if you do – Is that right? You can't exhale, I should say.
It all works.
Inhales is what would be. But anyway, so you got to stay hungry. You got to, mm-hmm. and we will. When we have a film session with them tomorrow after you're off the day today, you know, we'll have plenty to clean up. There's a lot. There's still a lot left on the table, I think, too. We're leaving some things out there, whether it's points or defensive mistakes. So there's still a lot of room for us to grow and get better as a basketball team. And if we get complacent, this thing's over, and our guys – they'll stay hungry, and we'll make sure that happens.
So is that the biggest thing now, defensively, certain mistakes, maybe certain things in the half court offensively that you want to clean up?
Yeah. Just, again, we've been pretty good against pressure this year. We've done a good job cutting and finding ways to manufacture. And, again, when we got plays at the rim, we were highly efficient last night, but we just didn't get enough of them, and we ended up settling, and I thought took some contested ones. We're just a little quick. But, again, that was Ohio State. They sped us up. And give them credit for it. But, again, the true sign and signs of great teams, championship teams, are can you find a way to win those close ones, which we did last night.
How much did it mean for some of the tough non-conference games that you guys played that has now set you up for, you know, I think Seamus had this note too, that the one possession games you guys have played this year, you've been perfect in one possession games. When it gets tough, it gets loud, it gets late, this team gets better. when you look at the non-conference sample size, some of those tough teams that you played, that really helps heading into conference
play. It was very important for us to play some close games and get a feel for how we were going to respond to those situations. You put your team in as many of those in practice, you play a lot of situational type games, and you really don't know how you're going to truly react until you get out there in a game setting. And, you know, the early ones with Oklahoma, you know, where we had an unbelievable offense. I think that was our best offensive efficiency game. You know, we weren't great defensively that game. And then you find a way to win a rock fight, and defense won the game against Michigan State. Defense wins the game against Ohio State. So, you know, we've won them in different ways. New Mexico made a big run on us, and we found a way to pull away in that game. And that's a pretty damn good team. You know, Oklahoma now has become a quad one. They've gotten into the top 50. So, you know, we played four quad one teams and found a way to beat them different ways. And again, that's a sign, I think, of a mature team and a good team when it's all said and done.
It's a gauntlet. It's a grind in conference play. How have you seen the Big Ten as a whole shape up? I mean, Michigan seems like it's a one-man freight train right now.
Yeah, they're unbelievable. And, you know, you saw Michigan State bounce back. They got home at 3:30 in the morning, and they get a short turnaround to play USC, and they end up winning by 30. So, you know, I think those two teams, Purdue obviously is up there. Illinois is going to be there when it's all said and done. Iowa has been unbelievable this year in what they've done. But, yes, top to bottom, Minnesota has had some really good wins, and Rutgers has a nice one last night in overtime. So
that was probably one of the craziest games.
Crazy.
First of all, there was a phantom foul that was called on Rutgers, but the whole game was just wild. I haven't seen any. That was probably the best game of the year.
Yeah, I just saw the finish, and I agree with you on that call. That was pretty crazy.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I mean, my point is it's a very deep conference. You have to be on point every time you step on the floor.
And so you just see how tough the conference is, and part of that is how good the coaches are. How much did you get a chance to interact with Coach Izzo when he was here? I know you guys are pretty close.
Yeah, I talked to him quite a bit. You know, the first thing he always asked me is, how's Jack doing, our oldest son that played for Coach? And, you know, I think that shows you how much he cares. And you look at all the relationships, even though one of his players I saw got thrown out of the stadium last night. But, you know, he said he was going to call him today, and the player was going to agree with him. And he's a special human being. For somebody that's accomplished as much as he has, to be as humble as he is, you know, my wife got a chance to talk to him quite a bit. You know, she's friends with Tom's wife, Lupe, and, you know, he's just a really genuine person. He'll call you. You know, the thing that he does, he calls you after a devastating loss and is always checking in. When we had those two injuries a couple years ago, he, you know, it was the first call the next morning when Juwan went down. And that's just who he is, and he's obviously great for our profession.
You know, it's funny, he talked about the court storming in his post game. You probably saw it, but he's like, you know, I was wishing they would stomp me out, you know, just based on how the game went. But I want to get your thoughts on the court storming, because, you know, a lot of people can be mixed on something like that. For me, it's, you know, it's a program that hasn't seen a whole lot of historical success, and technically, I guess Nebraska was favored in the game. It was a toss up, but for me, that moment, it felt like it was right, the court storming.
Yeah, it's fun to be able to get out if it's done the right way.
Sure.
And, you know, security, I think, has done a good job. I like the way that our players handled that question when they talked about it. As far as, you know, guys, we're supposed to win those games. We need to win those games. We should not have a court storming on it. Now, that being said, they were all out there smiling and jumping around with them. You know, I know they enjoyed it, but, you know, I think that once again speaks to the maturity of our team.
Fan support, we sort of mentioned it, but it shows how much Nebraska loves hoops and how much they've hopped on this team, whether you see the interaction on social media after games or what the atmosphere is like at PBA. The way the fans have embraced this team, I feel like, is incredibly special.
Yeah, they have, but they've embraced every team,
sure,
every sport. I mean, you look across the board, there's no other fan base like this that shows up the way that Huskers do. And, you know, certainly from our standpoint, I can't even explain to you how much we appreciate that support. And, you know, we're going to need it. We're going to need to continue to be loud and raucous and obnoxious and all those things in our building. And, you know, if we do that, we're going to have a chance every time we step on that floor. And, you know, it's great that we've stolen a couple road games, but we have to protect home court. We've got some really good teams coming in here, and I know our fans are excited about that.
You know, it's another, I guess, cliche is being the hunted, not the hunter. I guess now Nebraska is now the hunted. But everything that you seem to say, just none of that tends to matter, right? It's not in the horse blinders are on for this program.
We're certainly not looking at it like that. We're going to prepare the same way that we do every game. And listen, in this league, it doesn't matter if you're one, or it doesn't matter if you're how many teams we have, 18, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 18. If you're 18, you're hunted. You know, that's how this is. That's the approach. That's the coaching in this league. There's no off night. So it doesn't matter if you're the top team or the bottom team, you're going to be hunted.
Yeah. So I appreciate you joining us, Coach. I know you've had a million and one questions over the, you know, pretty much for this entire year with how everything has gone. It's been great, but I can understand where you're coming from, deflecting off all of the praise and thing. While it's incredibly deserved, it feels like a lot of energy has been deflecting some of the praise and being workmanlike and the next step, and that is Indiana on Saturday.
Yeah, and I'll say this I for the first time last night on the plane ride home, I legitimately almost passed out. It was a grind. I mean, this last week was really tough, but this off day, and I told our guys, you got to win the recovery day, and you know, whatever you need, if you need to come in and get shots, get free throws, get in the tubs. Hot tub, cold tub, get a massage, get in to see our training staff, whatever you need to do to get ready to get back on the horse on Thursday to start back on practice. So Wednesday to get back into practice. I don't know what day. It's hard to know what day it is right now. But, you know, that's, again, the maturity of this team, they're going to be ready to go. And, again, we structure practices to make sure they're fresh when the ball mm-hmm. goes up. So we'll have a good physical one tomorrow. You know, probably have our hardest day of the week on Thursday, and then have a very light one on Friday to make sure our guys are fresh.
Well, it's an off day. I mean, you probably don't have an off day as a coaching staff. You're watching film, but do we have like pickleball or something that we get into?
I got blood drawn this morning at 7:30.
Okay.
Yeah, and I get my annual heart checkup tomorrow. So that's my off days. I get my old man physicals. But I do find a time. You know, my wife's trying to drag me in at least get a couple workouts a week, and it's helped me. It really has. I don't always love going in there, and I dread mm-hmm. it, but when I walk out of there, I feel a hell of a lot better.
That's another reason why you have to be even keel. You gotta make sure the heart's all good. And
I know
you said that on TV, I think a couple of weeks ago. You said, you know, I got the heart deal. I gotta stay even keel.
Yeah, and you know, sometimes that's hard with what we're going through. But yeah, I'm very fortunate to be where I am right now with my history, with finding out about my heart condition and, you know, getting it fixed, and, you know, I just got to stay on top of it and make sure I'm putting the right things in my body and, you know, hopefully continue to be able to do this for a long time.
Coach, we appreciate you. Congrats on a great start, but again, just getting started. Thanks
all
so
right,
much for your
you,
time.
Kyle.
Fred Hoiberg joining us here on the Nebraska Basketball Show. Price Sanford joins the show. Jessica Cootey, that's next. Woodhouse has been a trusted partner in your everyday since 1975. Shop for your next vehicle with the home team at Woodhouse and the official auto dealer of Nebraska Athletics. Kyle Crooks back with you on the Nebraska Basketball Show. Appreciate Coach Hoiberg for joining us on the first three segments of the show. Price Sanford coming up here on the final segment. Appreciate Jessica Cootey chatting with him. One of the sharpshooters and high-volume scorers for this Nebraska basketball team has been a huge part of this 15-0 start, and here's part of that conversation.
Also, take us into when he's drawn up the plays. I mean, how genius, what level of genius is he when he's drawn up those inbounds plays or plays to get you guys open?
Yeah, it's unbelievable. You know, everybody sees how many open looks I get. And, you know, then you go back and watch the film. It's like, wow, this is just an incredible set or incredible action that he's running to get me open. So he really knows what he's doing. And that was a big part of my decision, as I knew how, you know, good of a basketball mind he had, and especially for wings, being a wing in the NBA and how to get shooters open. And, you know, it's a big credit to my teammates as well for, you know, finding me in those situations and going to screen. And, you know, Rink's one of the best screeners I've ever played with. He probably is the best screener I've ever played with. But, big credit to my teammates and coaches.
What makes a good screener or the best screener you ever played with?
I really don't know if it's, you know, he's obviously a really physical dude. You know, he's not going to shy away from the contact. So he's going to go hit him and get me open. That goes back to the unselfishness part. Like, everybody wants each other to do well and succeed, and, you know, Rink's right there with him.
He's a pretty good passer too, right?
An incredible passer, yeah. Sometimes catches me off guard how good his passes are.
Got to always look alive with Rink.
Yeah, no kidding. Yeah.
Okay, so you were an opponent inside Pinnacle Bank Arena. Yeah. What's it like now being on the right side of the bench and having the crowd cheer for you, I guess?
Oh, it's amazing. You know, I think it's the best fan base in college basketball. It's an incredible atmosphere, and you know, that Michigan State game was unbelievable, even though I didn't, you know, get to play as many minutes as I usually do with the foul trouble. But, yeah, it's an incredible fan base and the amount of support they've showed us and showed me, and it's amazing.
You're not typically a big fouler, right?
No, I know. I invented foul trouble like all year, and then I just get, foul out. I don't think I fouled out in like 6 years. I don't remember the last time I fouled out, yeah. So.
But you still come in right off the bench, and I got to imagine it's hard not being in a rhythm. How are you able to do that when you can just still come in and knock one down when you're kind of cold?
Yeah, I mean, I'd like to say it's from my experience in my first 2 years coming off the bench, especially my freshman year. I really never knew when I was going to go in, so I always had to be ready to go, and I think that taught me a lot. And so that helped me out. I didn't shoot it great first Michigan State, but got some to go even when I was sitting for a long time. So,
We've talked a lot about this team is unselfish. There's a lot of different guys that can score, but what has it been like for you carrying more of that load, being more in that role where this team needs for you to provide that?
Yeah, it's something I was preparing for in the off season a lot. When I was being recruited here, they told me that I was going to have to be that guy and I also have to be consistent. And so that was something I worked on really hard. And, I'm still working on being more consistent as a shooter and consistent overall as a player. But, I feel like I'm getting better at it as the season goes on.
Talk about coming off the bench. How about Braden Frager and the spark he's provided you guys?
Yeah, he's been amazing. He's made some big plays yesterday for us, really, really willed us to that win there at the end. And, he's been amazing. He's just going to continue to get better.
Great start to the season for Price and the Huskers, top 10 for the first time since the 60s. It's been quite some time, and it's been quite a start to the season. Appreciate Jessica and Price for joining us on the final segment of the show. Coming up next broadcast for men's basketball, KP and Coach Jeff Smith, 10 a.m. Central pregame show. That'll be at Indiana, then back home on the 13th. Against the Oregon Ducks. That's what's coming up. Appreciate Coach Hoiberg, Price Sanford, Jessica Cootey, our crew, Russ Brown, Camden Cohn, as well as we say so long here on the Nebraska Basketball Show.